racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Once again, welcome back into the Grill Room, normally with Bob and Jay, but we got a surprise for you this week. I'm Bob Bubka, here this week with longtime voice of the Grill Room, Alex Maselli. We just completed a week at the 148th Open Championship at Royal Port Rush, right on the north coast of Northern Ireland. We'll get to that in a minute. First, we'd like to send our best wishes to our co-host, Jay Randolph Jr., often known as STL Golf Geek, who is dealing with an unfortunate accident in the workplace at Normandy Golf Club that happened this week. Most certainly, our Grill Room condolences go out to the family of the gentleman involved in this tragic accident. In Jay's absence, though, this show will be a little bit different, and it's with a lot of pride I welcome back, as I said, longtime voice of the Grill Room, and he's very graciously agreed to fill in for Jay this week. Also, we're going to be hearing from Rupert Bell and Georgie Bingham on their thoughts on the Open. Both of those colleagues are from Talk Sport. Well, let's not waste any more time. Let's get a mic side. Alex, thank you so much for doing this. And let me begin by getting your thoughts on the condensed version of the PGA Tour schedule. Now we're, you know, just in July, and we have to wait, what, 9 months for our next major?
Well, you know, Bobby, thanks for the introduction. I was actually having a conversation with Ted Bishop yesterday about this exact topic, the former president of the PGA of America, saying, you know, it's just pretty sad that it's going to take, you know, basically 250 days before we see a major again. And I said, look, this is how it always should have been. This 4 months has been terrific, absolutely terrific. It's really gotten a boost. The PGA Championship has gotten a much bigger boost and from being where it is in the schedule now. And you know what? In about a month, football is going to start. Nobody's going to care about golf. So I think from a scheduling standpoint, I think this is perfect. But certainly after the four majors are done, you're going to have a little kind of a depression level waiting for the next major, which is going to be the Masters in 2020 in a Tiger Wood defense, which is going to be kind of interesting as well.
You know, Alex, you mentioned the PGA getting a boost coming on the heels of Augusta. I certainly agree with you there. But I also think that the Open Championship now, you know, it's the granddaddy of them all. And I think it's gained a little bit by being the last major of the year.
Well, it always had been to me an important major. I always thought it was one of the best majors, and I'm not going to disagree that it probably has a little more stature now, being where it is in the schedule, being the last one. If you think about what's going to happen next year, it's going to be just before the Olympics, and that's going to be quite interesting as well. So, you know, all in all, I think that the decision, even though it was made for certainly monetary reasons, no other reason, but the decision to move the majors where they are and where the Players' Championship is now in March, it really does lend itself to a season which I think we desperately lost over time. I mean, can you remember the time when you'd have the PGA Championship in August and then you'd have all those events that nobody cared about until you finally had the Tour Championship in like the end of October, November, or beginning of November? I mean, that seemed ludicrous. Now we actually have a real season.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think it's probably going to take a little time to adjust to, but hopefully it'll come out all right. Speaking of coming out all right, seemed like we had everything. Good golf, drama, heartache, erratic weather, sheer joy from Shane Lowry as he became champion golfer of the year. What were your overall thoughts on the Open Championship at Royal Port Rush?
Well, I think, first of all, Port Rush is a absolutely tremendous venue to have Open Championship. And I don't think there's any doubt that they'll go back there. I think going to Northern Ireland was a brilliant stroke by, in this case, would be in Peter Dawson back, who was the head of the RNA. You know, obviously it couldn't have happened earlier for many different reasons, mostly political. But now that being said, and now knowing the support level that the Irish people, mostly Irish people, gave to that event, I don't think there's any question that that port rush should be part of the rota all the time. And you look at it, and it's exactly what you wanted it to be. I mean, there were days when you could score, and there's days when you couldn't. Shane Lowry was a tremendous champion. He's always been a very, very approachable, very easy guy to like and to talk to. And those are the type of people you want winning these big events. And I thought that what he did somewhat kind of got overshadowed by the fact that he was actually so dominant against the field of players that if you go with Brooks Koepka, if you go with Jordan Spieth, if you go with Rory McIlroy, you know, Justin Thomas, you can go down the list of players that didn't really actually show up and couldn't really handle what Port Rush brought to them. But yet Shane Lowry not only handled it, but I thought he exceeded what anybody else could do clearly.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I just want to go back to the point that you made as you started. It's really hard to comprehend what this Open Championship did for, you know, uniting Ireland and Northern Ireland, you know, the troubles that they've had for so many years. But this event seemed to, you know, help eradicate the border. We celebrated it with Irishmen. You know, there was no distinction about North or South. And I think that's probably going to be the biggest legacy of the Open Championship coming back to Port Rush.
You know, it's interesting, Bob, even before this championship, I was watching some coverage in regards to, I think it was rugby, where the Irish team was Northern Irish and Irish together. And there was no indication, and this was a while ago, we're not talking about something that happened, you know, last week. We're talking about years ago. And both sides, all the players of that team said there was no, you know, animus or anything like that. We were just an Irish team. And I think, you know, with Boris Johnson becoming prime minister, there's a lot of discussion going on about how Wales, how Scotland and how Northern Ireland feel about leaving the EU. You could clearly see in years going future that Northern Ireland may actually be part of Ireland politically as well as it is in sport right now. And that would be kind of interesting. But bottom line is that the RNA made a very good decision going to Port Rush. There's some discussion going on, as I understand it, that they're actually looking at going to Port Marnock, which is clearly in Ireland, which is outside of Dublin. And if they do that, I think there's an understanding by the RNA that, you know, we are, it's incumbent upon us to bring sport to the UK and Ireland, not just to the UK. And, you know, most of the teams that the RNA are in charge of, if it'd be a Walker Cup team, if it'd be the St. Andrews Links, the Lytham Trophy, whatever it might be, it's a GB and I type of event. So there's no reason why we shouldn't see the Open Championship showing up in Ireland as well as Northern Ireland.
And Shane Lowry, as champion, said both North and South are all one Ireland. A very powerful message. He also had this to say after that stunning victory.
Yeah, I just can't believe. I said at the ball walking down 18, I just couldn't believe that it was me. You know, I couldn't believe it was happening. And I thought about it all day, but I didn't really let myself think about it until I hit my tee shot in 17. And as soon as I hit that tee shot, I knew that I couldn't really lose a ball from there. Do you know what I mean? And that's how I felt. So, yeah, it's an incredible feeling, yeah. I played the last five holes. You know, I thought I played, even though I bogeyed 14, I thought I played the last five holes incredibly well. And I felt incredibly good. You know, I felt like I was going to do it, especially obviously after 14 when Tommy made double, I made bogey, but I went five ahead before the play. So, yeah. It's hard to believe. It's just hard to believe. I think a lot of people made the last minute journey up here this morning because I was leading, and it's were great out there today. It's funny, I sometimes struggle to play in front of a home crowd and have done in the past, but I mean, not over the last few days. I played lovely, so it was, yeah, it's obviously very nice. It's just incredible to walk down 18, crowds going wild, singing ole ole. It's like, it's it's like something that, you know, I couldn't believe it was happening to me, and tried to soak it in as much as I could. It was hard to soak it in because it's very surreal.
And of course, a very deserving champion. And you alluded to it, Alex, in the top of the show. A very approachable guy. He's, you know, media friendly, and he's popular with the other guys on tour. It probably had to be hard to him. I was just thinking, Alex, you know, coming into the week, so much was being made about Rory McIlroy, and then Graham McDowell, and then even Darren Clark. I mean, like, Shane Lowry was the forgotten Irishman.
Well, I'm sure today he doesn't care about that. But in some ways, that's actually good, Bob, because it takes the pressure off. There's no discussion about you being one of the favorites coming in, even though he had success on that golf course before, or most of that golf course, since two holes were changed since his win there before. So, you know, I think that's a positive. But at the same time, there was no question who controlled that open from almost the beginning on Thursday all the way through till Sunday.
Alex Maselli joining us in this special edition of our open coverage that concluded at Royal Port Rush. Interesting to note, Ricky Elliott, the caddy for Brooks Koepka, so much publicity on him coming in. And then it's a caddy by the name of Bo Martin, who worked for Shane Lowry, that really was a huge part of the story.
Well, you know, when you're on TV as much as they were, and as much as either Sky or BBC or NBC or whoever are trying to get, you know, some snippets of what's going on between the two, Bo Martin, who almost looked like Shane Lowry's father to some extent, is going to get some coverage. And what I thought was interesting is after the fact, after the win, his wife basically said to him, you know, do whatever you need to do. When you get home, you get home. That's okay with me. So, I mean, it kind of just shows you the attitude of Bo Martin and Shane Lowry, because there's a lot on Twitter with the two actually enjoying the after effects of a championship win.
They're probably not home yet. It's about 72 hours later. Let's listen to Tommy Fleetwood, who made another serious run at a major championship. To me, he's a superstar in the making, but here's what Tommy had to say.
Felt like if I could have started better, I had two great shots on one. You know, I didn't convert two. I had a good shot in after sort of pulled tee, shot three, missed a short one. And the first few holes were obviously when you start four back. Pretty crucial. I didn't do a good enough job of sort of pressing at that point, but disappointed in the overall day.
Yeah, Tommy Fleetwood, he has a wealth of talent, Alex.
Well, he does, and I mean, you saw it last year at the U.S. Open, where he put a lot of pressure on the eventual winner, Brooks Koepka. But I think one thing that was brought up in the broadcast, which I agree with, is Fleetwood clearly is having some issues with his putting stroke. And he alluded to the fact that he had some short ones. And if he had made first hole is a great example. I mean, people won't remember it as much now, but Tommy Fleetwood had a chance for birdie, and Shane Lowry was looking at the possibility of making a double bogey. It would have been a three-shot swing. I don't know what would have happened if there had been a three-shot swing, but in reality, it only ended up being a one-shot swing. And Lowry walking off the green feeling like he just swallowed the canary, and Tommy Fleetwood beat himself up over the head with the realization that he just missed another putt, which he thinks he should have made. And that's just all it takes. Just one mistake like that can really set the tone for a round.
Yeah, the possibility really existed on that first hole on Sunday of a massive turnaround. Brooks Koepka, he's been preaching that the majors are the easiest to win. Here's what he had to say following his final round.
I mean, I played good. This week's obviously disappointing. Not the finish I was looking for. It becomes I guess a battle to try to figure it out and try to improve upon it on next year. It was a great run for three of them, and then this one, nothing you can do, Shane. I mean, how cool is that to win in Ireland? Props to him. He played unbelievable golf. I mean, today, to shoot one over in the lead, that's with the conditions, that's unbelievable.
Brooks Koepka. Just couldn't seem to get it working. But a good friend of yours, Alex, good friend of mine also, Lee Westwood, he certainly had a strong week. with that tie for fourth finish. Pretty good perk comes with that. As you know, Alex, he'll be going down Magnolia Lane next April. That gets him into the Masters.
Yeah, and he actually plays Augusta very well. Had chances in the past to win there. Didn't get it done, obviously. But the one thing I want to go back to Koepka on is, you know, he was, even though people hate to hear it, and if it was Patrick Reed, they'd be screaming about it. But when he said, "I've hit the ball better than anybody else in the field," after his third round on Saturday, he was absolutely right. The fact is he putted poorly, and maybe putted the worst of anybody in the positions he was in. That all being said, Bob, I'm going to Augusta in, like we said, about 250 days. I'm putting my money on Brooks Koepka, because I still believe that no one has proven to me day in and day out when a Masters comes that there's a better player right now than Brooks Koepka.
I couldn't agree more. He just seemed so solid. It was just one of those weeks, and everyone that plays this unbelievable sport knows when those putts do not drop, it's not a lot of fun. But he had a lot of fun because he's the pride of Royal Port Rush. His brother actually one of the greenskeepers, and I'm talking about Graham McDowell, and you can hear the pride in his voice.
I think we, you know, a Lynx course, you always wanted to test the guys and to show them what's possible. Give them a chance in some nice conditions and see what they can do. Give them a low wind and see what they can do. You know, I'm not sure lashing rain tests anybody kind of fairly, but, you know, caddies and players and, you know, TV, you know, some of the commentating crew out there, just people are saying it's just one of the best links they've ever seen, which is high praise from the best players in the world who get to play the best courses on the planet, you know, so very special.
Well, you've had a variety of Lynx courses in your career covering and playing. I rate Royal Port Rush right near the top. It's a pretty impressive 18 holes of golf.
Well, I mean, from a championship standpoint, meaning a venue that you want to hold the major championship on, absolutely. If you play it, it can be very difficult. And it can be very intimidating. What I think is interesting, though, Bob, is they actually created two new holes. And to the uninformed, if they walk that golf course, they would be hard-pressed to figure out which two holes are new. That's such a great job that they did, that the RNA did, working with the club and putting those two new holes in. And then secondly, how good the setup was. And, I mean, you know, we talk about this all the time. We criticize some of the other championships because of setup. You know, the RNA, you just don't find them making those type of mistakes. And I think there's a reason why there was no negative press from any of the players about Royal Port Rush, because there was nothing negative to say.
One thing that was said, and that was about the play of Phil and Tiger, hard to believe 83 majors that they've played in together, and this is the only one where they both missed a cut. Probably more of an indication we're winding down on the glory days of Phil and Tiger.
I think that's a given. We can move on from there. I think you've hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, other guys played pretty well. Ricky Fowler goes another year without getting a major title. You know, the longer he goes, he may not want to admit it, but I think you'd agree with me. The longer he goes, the harder he gets.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. It's not like the players behind him, meaning younger players, are getting any worse. They're certainly getting better. And some of the players even in front of him, meaning on age, the older players are also getting better as well. So Ricky Fowler's got a long, hard road to try to win a major championship. And I got to be honest with you, when you start off with a double bogey on the first hole on the final day, that's just a gut wrench.
Absolutely. John Rahm, flashes of brilliance, seems that he's destined to climb the highest mountain in this sport and win not only one major, but maybe numerous majors. Just a lot of talent, just didn't get it done at Port Rush, though.
Well, I'm kind of surprised about that, that he didn't, because he played so well 2 weeks earlier in the Irish Open, and the final round was tremendous. So I don't really know what happened to John Rahm, because, you know, you have to basically be out there to figure it out. You can't follow it on TV when they're starting to implode. But it's very surprising when he had such a good beginning that he ended up doing what he did.
and a great defense. Francisco Molinari put together a brilliant round on Sunday. Certainly, he proved to be a worthy champion golfer of the year. Congratulations to him. Jordan Spieth, what do you make of it, Alex?
I can't make anything of it at this point. There's just not enough information to understand why Jordan Spieth is doing what he's doing. The numbers that they were spouting in regards to fairways missed. I mean, first hole, iron in your hand, and you can't hit a fairway. I just can't. It's inexplicable what is going on with Jordan Spieth, but clearly something other than golf seems to be under his mind. And he needs to fix that because he's putting well enough now to win. It's the rest of his game that seems to be so suspect.
Well, as we savor the memory of Royal Port Rush, we look ahead to Royal St. George's near the White Cliffs of Dover. Completely different weather patterns there. It's right on the English Channel, but it's going to be a good open championship at Royal St. George's.
Well, the one thing I love about that is you can jump on the ferry, go to France, have lunch, and come back. That's what I like about going to Royal St. George's.
For sure. Who is it? Ben Curtis won there, I think, the last time we visited.
Darren Clark.
Oh, Darren Clark, right. I'm dating myself a little bit. Anyway, I'm going to date this because we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the World Golf Championships, the FedEx St. Jude Championship in Memphis, Tennessee.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at the Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. Alex Maselli sitting in for Jay out for some personal reasons this week. The players, well, they're down in Memphis, the St. Jude Championship, Memphis, Tennessee. I don't know how hot it's going to be this time of year down there, but lots of big money at stake, so they'll get a pretty good field. One of the great groupings, I would guess, Alex Kuchar, Justin Rose, Jordan Spieth. That should draw some eyeballs.
Well, obviously, World Golf Championships are going to have the best players. There's no question about that. But I, as we just said, I don't know what happened with Jordan Spieth. Matt Kuchar was kind of, you know, blah at the Open Championship, and Justin Rose was a disappointment. So, all three of those guys have something to prove. Maybe in the warmer weather, without rain lashing at them and the wind blowing from everywhere, maybe they got a better chance. But I think I like the next group better, Bob, the Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy, Jason Day group. I really believe that both Koepka and McIlroy have something to prove this week.
Yeah, you bring up a good point there. I mean, McIlroy, after missing the cut, certainly would like to outperform Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka, by not winning, certainly would like to outperform Rory McIlroy. Gary Woodland, who certainly did not play well at Royal Port Rush, Xander Schauffele, and John Rahm, another pretty nice grouping.
You know, can you explain Xander Schauffele to me? Because you look at him, and it's like you just think he's just some other one of the 156 guys in the field, but every time he shows up, he plays so well. I mean, he's absolutely in contention. That's a shocker to me. On the Gary Woodland side, the one thing I will say is when Gary Woodland won his U.S. Open, another journalist turned to me and said, you know, it's really hard to write about Gary Woodland in the fact that this is the first of maybe many, because they're right. I mean, Gary Woodland, more likely than not, is a one-and-done major champion. But it doesn't mean he can't win other events. It's just that you know, because he won the U.S. Open, we can't all of a sudden anoint him as somebody that's always going to be the guy or always have a chance to win no matter what event he goes to.
Absolutely. All we have to do is turn back to 2013. Justin Rose wins the U.S. Open, has not won another major since then. So winning majors because they only play for a year, certainly a tough thing to do. Time now for a short break, and when we return, we'll hear my conversation with TalkSport's Rupert Bell and Georgie Bingham with their thoughts from Royal Port Rush Sunday night after the conclusion of the Open Championship.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Our coverage of the Open, the 148th edition from Royal Port Rush, continues now with two special guests joining me, both from TalkSport, Rupert Bell, Georgie Bingham. I want to begin with you, Georgie. It was a tough day, certainly, with the elements. A lot of rain, a lot of wind, but the scores were incredibly high, and I think you have some fascinating numbers for us.
I do. We just crunched the numbers, and because I've got an attention span of a squirrel, let me give you them. First of all, if you look at the top of the leaderboards, only two players shot under par within the top, my goodness, 15 today in their rounds. And when we crunched the numbers, the last six groups went round today in 64 over par. That just tells you how ridiculously tough it was. Now, one of those 16 whole shots go to JB Holmes, who had an absolute horror show today. And much to the frustration of Brooks Koepka, was also very slow. And he does have a bit of a reputation for being that. But 64 over par today. So when you look at Shane Lowry's plus one round, that's an absolute bonza, frankly.
Also joining us right now, Rupert Bell. When you think in one major, we had David DeVal shooting 91, JB Holmes shooting 87. It's mind-boggling stuff.
But the main thing about David DeVal, he had one horror show. JB Holmes had 18 holes of absolute horror.
Rupert, be candid. When the week began, the Irish fans here at Royal Port Rush probably had on their wish list Rory McIlroy as the one hope that they had to finish first, probably followed by Graham McDowell and then Darren Clark, and probably in fourth place would have been Shane Lowry. And yet the top three do not make the cut. Well, no, Graham McDowell did make the cut, but it's Shane Lowry that got the job done.
And did he get the job done? But I also think it was hugely significant, because the fact that the Open has come back here after 68 years is hugely significant for the island of Ireland. It's not just about Northern Ireland. It's about the whole island in itself and what it means of where the island is now, and Ireland is. And it was just a huge celebration of golf. It's the biggest single sport event that they've staged in anywhere in Ireland. Yes, they've had the Ryder Cup, but this transcends that. This is far bigger. And for it to be won by a man from County Offaly, 3 hours down the road, to come through and be cheered on by vociferous galleries. Okay, they went early on Saturday thinking he'd won it, but my goodness me, by the time he did win it, they were fever pitched, and it was thoroughly deserved. But a seminal moment, I think, for Irish sporting history.
Georgie, what about the fact that in recent history now, Shane Lowry becomes the third Irishman to win the Claret Jug. We have Patrick Harrington getting the job done, Darren Clark getting the job done, and now Shane Lowry adding his name to the list. And I know you're close with Shane. He's as nice a guy as you could probably ever meet, but really with a lot of talent.
Yeah, he has. I mean, if you look back to Harrington's first win was in 07. And then since then, you've obviously had Darren, yeah, Graham McDowell having success in America as well as Rory McIlroy as well. So the island of Ireland, again, we come back to this, has done fabulous. Can I tell you something quite interesting about Lowry? I caught up with him on Tuesday after his practice round, and I haven't seen him for a while. Put a microphone in his face for our preview show on Wednesday. And he said, yeah, I mean, it's great to be back here. I don't mind going under the radar because I feel like my golf's in a good place. I'm kind of finding my way around the course. And I was like, okay, right, nice to see you. Wednesday, after his first round, you remember he was the clubhouse leader on his own for quite a long time, wasn't he, as one of the early starters. He said when we went to the mix zone, I got it. I got this course. Yesterday, I was so nervous because I felt like I didn't get this course. And today, we got it for the first time. And he'd been around a couple of times. And it's literally like everything kind of came together in the perfect storm for him, where on the Wednesday, he just suddenly figured out how to play Roll Pot Rush. And by the Sunday, when the bad conditions came in and everyone else went to pieces, he was just peerless. It was extraordinary.
The perfect storm.
Pretty much.
For the perfect storm.
Mm. What's really amazing, too, is Brooks Koepka shows up here, and a lot of publicity directed towards Ricky Elliott. Probably well-deserved. I mean, he's an outstanding caddy, there's no doubt. But ultimately, it's Bo Martin, who was on the bag for Shane Lowry, just picked up his bag last year, as a matter of fact, but somewhat of a local folk hero in his own right, Bo Martin, a very accomplished golfer, in this area, knows Port Rush really well, and that combination proved to be dynamite.
I think it was the key was the 10th on the round on Saturday in the third round when he had a problem, and he really did say to Shane, you've got to play as a sort of bump and run with a 7-iron, and that was the moment when their sort of teamwork absolutely gelled perfectly, and he was a wonderful voice in his ear throughout the final round, just keeping him calm and keeping him sort of under control if things were going slightly wrong. And that was the important, because his relationship with his previous caddy, they'd had a long-standing a partnership, but he felt that they were stale. And clearly, picking up last September, for a man who's, I think, a very high... Well, he runs the Northern Ireland Golf Tours. So he's a chairman of that in between being a caddy. Well, I think he can probably give up that because he's obviously won a pretty sizable check this week. But whatever, he is... And again, it all adds to the special nature of this victory. You've got a man from Northern Ireland teamed up with a man from the south of Ireland, and they have absolutely ripped this place to shreds, and I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Can I just note, I don't know whether you noticed when Shane Lowry came off the 18th tonight, not only was Harrington, who missed a cut there, but Graham McDowell, but also Brooks Koepka's caddy had come back down the steps. He's a local, a Port Rush local, to make sure that he congratulated Shane Lowry and his caddy, which I just thought was lovely. So it was like a big Irish love-in at the bottom of the stairs. It was great.
Georgie, let me ask you this.
Sure.
It's pretty evident to me, but I certainly want your support on this, that the golf course itself held up beautifully, provided a wonderful examination. But one thing that we noted commuting each and every day to and from our media hotel to the golf course, that the community of Port Rush couldn't have been shown in a brighter light.
I think, I think it's not just Port Rush, it's the people of Belfast. I mean, they've come from far, far and wide. The embracing of this Open Championship is one of the reasons it's been such a success. We've discussed on our drive down past the course that there are very few courses this beautiful in terms of the view. Yes, of course, we're always using Lynx courses at the Open Championship, so we're very lucky, but this is an extraordinary setting. The people have just loved it, and they have made sure that you cannot ignore Port Rush again on the Open Championship roster. It must become a regular fixture.
And they made tweaks to the course, but you wouldn't have thought 7 and 8 were new. They just blended in magnificently, and they were proper tests. And that was, they had to tweak to make sure it could cope with an open venue, and they built two new holes to transform the place, yet it took nothing away. I mean, it really was the most special test. And alluding to the beauty, you stand on the third at Royal Portrush and you look down out over the Atlantic Ocean. It takes your breath away. I think it is the most scenic of the venues. Yeah. And fingers crossed it'll be back within, you know, 10 years, because it thoroughly deserves to hold its place now as a regular on the roster. And it won't be 68 years. And the people of Portrush can truly celebrate like Georgie did in the Harbour Bar one night.
Well, you know, Jay, we're very fortunate to have Rupert Bell and Georgie Bingham join us in this special edition from the Media Center, just following the conclusion of the 148th Royal Portrush celebration of Shane Lowry claiming the claret jug. And obviously his life has changed forever as an Open champion, but I think he'll make a good Open champion. One quick note, the previous champion, Francisco Molinari, a brilliant round, especially under the conditions. He shot a 6 under par, 65, 5 under par, I think, 66. 66,
starting the day in 54th.
Yeah. Right.
He ends up in 11th. And that just shows you how difficult the conditions for the morning starters. Mm. There were a couple of other players who benefited in that too. The young Scott, Bob McIntyre, Tyrrell Hatton, they found themselves leaping up the leaderboard. They must have been watching every afternoon, and every time someone dropped a shot, thinking, that's another 30,000 in the bank. That's another 30,000 in the bank.
Well, I thought I was the biggest Lee Westwood fan on the planet, but listening to Georgie, she exceeds my enthusiasm for Lee, and he finished fourth, and that's rather significant for Lee Westwood.
It is. I mean, I always have to kind of put in a disclaimer with Lee that Lee is a friend as well as a great golfer. Lee's 46 years old, and everyone always is on his back about not winning a major, but to come in the end fourth, a place in the Masters, which he is cock-a-hoop about. I don't know whether the Americans know that expression, but it means very happy, just in case we're all not quite sure. He was absolutely delighted, and I realise that he may go down in history as one of those great players that never wins a major, but at 46 years old, he's not as long as or as powerful as most of these guys. He's working harder than ever in the gym, harder than ever at his game, and he was really, really pleased with his finish today, and I'm delighted for him.
Because last year, people were saying, questioning why wasn't he there, given he's got a pretty decent Masters record, and yet now to find that he's back going to go down Magnolia Drive, for him, it was all that hard work. It feels a sort of major reward. It hasn't, unfortunately, led to a major, but it still means he is competitive at 46 and is able to hold his own, and he can walk down any fairway knowing I'm still able to live with the young guys.
All right, before we wrap this up, and I certainly appreciate your time, Rupert Bell always seems to come up with something a little out of the ordinary. There happens to be a collection of rocks not too far from Royal Portrush that Rupert Bell was very excited about. What was it that you were talking about, Rupert?
Well, there's a number of things. That was Giant's Causeway. I don't know often what I'm talking about, but I can tell you that this is a majorly significant victory in this year's Open,
yeah,
because for the first time since 1882, when the Bob Ferguson won his third Open, I'm not quite sure what venue it was, but he was the last person to lift the claret jug, if they had the claret jugs then, with a beard.
All right, we're going to wrap it up with this stat, which is absolutely incredible. The last time the Open was played here, Max Faulkner from England won first place. He got a check for £300. The other night in downtown Portrush, in the bar, a program from that 1951 Open Championship sold for £500, just to put things in perspective. Georgie, Rupert, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Being part of In the Grill Room. It has been a fantastic Open Championship. And if the ink's not dry on the return, it's probably going to get on that paper pretty soon.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.